Cheer. Give me a mic check.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Mic check 1, 2.
And 3, 2.
1, 1, 2. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm 2 levels above you, baby. Hug me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy.
Guess who's back?
Malcolm.
The J Dot. The Malcolm. That's right. Mariam Tazi, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Malcolm?
Made it, huh?
Yeah.
Ready.
Ready to go.
God, you think the TV cameras were on? You just smiling, grinning?
Really?
Gosh.
I smile. I'm a happy person.
She is happy to be back on the mic, people.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Not that long.
It's been a long time. She shouldn't have left you. Without a strong rhyme to step to. That's how she does it.
Nice.
So welcome to the program, guys. I appreciate you tuning in. And I do appreciate listeners to continue to post things on our Facebook or my Facebook page. And submitting feedback, too. I've been getting flooded by it.
Good.
Good stuff, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hopefully only good things.
Well, no, I mean, I know
I've even received feedback.
I've received constructive criticism, which I've kind of started to implement. So all of it's good because it helps me look at things. So that's good. So
okay.
Yep. And what else is new? People been coming off of Film Fest. So we did Film Fest last week, and yeah, that was good. So a lot of really cool films. A lot of films, actually, that I didn't get to see as far as, you know, being part of the programming team. I can't watch them all.
Yeah.
But there were some good ones.
Good.
Better than what's on TV and in the movies now.
Well, so unfortunately, that's not too difficult to do, but I'm glad that the movies were good and that it was a good turnout.
Film Festival was good. The Washington West Film Festival. I like the message, and I like what we stand for. As far as giving back all of the box office proceeds. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good message. It's always good to give
back. It's hard work throughout the year. I can only imagine what some of the higher-ups go through as far as getting everything organized. Just trying to get anything organized, especially when it's a nonprofit. It's,
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and you're always trying to get money, but it's hard to get it.
There's a lot of fundraising.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And just get people involved and let you know you exist, kind of like this podcast. You know, trying to get people to understand that there is a message and you're still trying to find my voice in all this. And, you know, with the film festival, of course, it's pretty cut and dry, you know. Every year they pick a cause, what they're going to, you know, donate the, you know, proceeds, the profits to. And that's the goal, is to get people to fill the seats, to buy merchandise, see the films, and that money goes towards. I think this past year was for Hurricane Sandy.
Yes.
And next year is going to be for homeless. So, I mean.
Good causes.
Great causes. Yeah. So I like that. So a lot of people that I used to work with at my old job there, some of the DPs. Hmm. Working cameras and audio, and I saw my old boss there. Yeah, I talked to him. I was like, yeah. I mean, as you guys know, I told you I quit my office job. And no, I went to him and thanked him for the opportunity and shook his hand and, you know, told him, you know, I thought he was a good man, and I think you guys are doing, he's doing good things. He's actively involved with the film festival also. So, I mean, we have to work together. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, sometimes I know with me, I can get so run down that I get irritable. I know, you know, I complain about this. That you guys have heard me complain.
No, really?
Yeah, sometimes. So sometimes you need to step out of your box and look at yourself and be like, you know, what can I do better? Mm. So, you know, sometimes you just got to recognize that people are there to help. So when somebody does offer you a job and you accept it and you work with them, and even if things don't work out, it's not it's not really their fault. They're doing what they do.
That's also not the end of the world either. You can still be civil.
Yeah, and they're doing what they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of up to you to figure out what drives you and what you're passionate about. And it's no sense in, like, you know, burning bridges or
right.
stuff like that. So sometimes...
It's very mature.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is, yeah, it's like I told him, I was like, yeah, you know, I think that, you know, just... I think that people need to look at themselves, and I've said this not just, you know, on the podcast, but outside of the podcast, that you need to, sometimes you need to take a step back and reevaluate and set your course. And,
yeah.
you know, even if that does mean, you know, going up to someone you used to work with, whether or not you're with them or not, and just, you know, saying hello, being nice, being respectful,
mm-hmm.
you know, being thankful.
Yep.
Just basic.
It's good. Good karma.
Know, common. I'm not looking for anything in return.
I know, but it's still good to put positive, you know, things out there. It's
yeah, just, I'm not looking
going to do you any harm to be, you know, positive about the experience. In the end, you learn from it and whatever.
Yeah, I just think it's we have to learn to communicate as human beings in a respectful manner. And I think
True.
That's something that we easily forget because we're so caught up in our own world and our own passion.
We're very
and our
into
own,
sarcasm, you know.
Yeah. And
it's not very positive
no,
and like enriching.
It's mean spirited too.
Not
you
very
know?
Nice.
Yeah.
It's not the nicest. It's
it doesn't make people feel good. It's better, you know. When you go and you say something to someone, say thank you, hold the door for someone, just basic stuff. Sometimes it makes
courtesy.
Their day.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is yeah. kind of lost.
And it's not that, like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, get a pat on the back or anything like that. I'm not trying to earn my merit badge, but at the same time, I think, well, I know that I need to. Look at myself a little bit because I have to practice what I preach. If I'm going to complain about something for 30 minutes on a podcast or 20 minutes on a podcast, then yeah, obviously, you know, I need to also look at my track record.
Yeah. You know? But you also call yourself out. You, by talking about it, you become more aware. And then by being more aware is you change your behavior, you know?
True that, Miriam Tazi. True that.
I'm just saying. True my psychology that. Background is coming back.
But yeah, we'll talk about some of the Film Fest stuff. In a minute. What else? My son had a playoff football game. Justin, he had a playoff football game. They're in the playoffs. They're
nice.
The underdogs, but they're digging in deep.
That's good.
He's out there in the field mixing it up. He plays defensive line. He's mixing it up with the kids, you Aww. Know, big kids. They double teamed him. So I had to pull my son to the side. I was like, look, you're not here to dance. Right. When they mix it up like that, you go around them. You either go through them or you go around them. It's the thing you got to do because if they mix it up with you, they're trying to hold you. You're on defense.
Yeah.
Your job is to go to the ball. Get that ball. Who has the ball? The quarterback has the ball, or unless he hands it off. But you just keep your eye on the ball. But don't just mix it up with two dudes just for the sake of doing the man dance. No man dancing. All right?
Okay.
This ain't the dance.
That's a good message, I guess.
No, he's got, you know, the game. You got the ball. The game is to get the ball.
Okay.
That's it. You know. Listen to me like I'm an expert on football.
That's a lot of sports.
Hey, I know. Tony Dorsett, you know what I mean? I told you, 70s, yeah.
Yeah, you go back too far for me.
Yeah, I can take it back.
Even nowadays, I barely know anybody, but.
Yeah, but anyway, they did the football, and, you know, we're out there last night running around, and they pulled, they squeezed out a victory, a V,
Yay.
A W, whatever you want to call it. But
that's good.
It's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
And, yeah, after the game,
Celebrated. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna. I don't know. Pat him on his head or something. I don't know. Give him a hug.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caught a whiff of his underarm. I told him about himself. Had to do it. Had to do it.
Teenage boys, man.
Preteen.
I know. He's close.
Yeah, I caught a whiff. I was like, man, what? Is that you? I smell an armpit. I was like, man, what is that?
I thought
it was a man, or I was near a cab driver or something. I didn't know what it was, to be honest. And I was like, damn. I was like, do you use deodorant, man? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you know, what type of deodorant do you use? Axe. Come on, man. Axe is not a deodorant.
It's spray That's only,
a
spray. Right?
Yeah, you'll be musty. You'll be musty.
Remember, the commercials for that make it seem like it's, you
He
know,
must have saw a commercial.
Oh, yeah, the
liked
women,
it.
Like, love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And that's what I told him. I was like, that's all hype. Don't use that. I was like, you got any other type of deodorant? He's like, yeah, some other kind. I was like, is it clear when you put it on? I was like, because we don't do well with the clear stuff. I was like, you got to get the white. You know what I mean?
The bar. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You got to get that. Because if not, man.
Not the gel?
No gel. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. You'll be musty. At the end of the day, midway through, I'll smell myself. And I don't smell, but if I use that stuff, I'll start to have a little bit of burnt. Little burnt. Some smell. Doesn't smell right. Like I've been, you know what I mean, driving in the city all day or something. Yeah. It's not good.
Well.
You got to stay on top of that. Because I told them. I was like, yo, here's the deal. They'll smell you. Who will smell you? They will smell you. Who will smell you? He says, they will. The girls will smell you. All right? When it all comes down to it, all it takes is one to get a whiff, and then they talk amongst themselves, son. They talk amongst themselves.
So paranoid.
Man, you go into seventh grade.
All
knowing,
boys smell. Nah. It's like women, girls just know boys smell.
Yeah, but you don't
like at that age, all boys smell.
Yeah, but you don't want
to smell like outside. You know what I mean? Boys just smell.
But it's in sixth grade or seventh grade. But if you smell good and you feel good, and one
it's memorable.
One, yes,
that's true.
If one girl says
he always smells good,
he feels good.
That's true.
That's your rep.
That's true. That's a great rep to have. Smelling good is
Let
a good
tell
one.
You. And but see, my point is not so much to. You know, get the girl, but to have that rep. And with that rep, that boosts your self-esteem and your confidence.
That's true.
Confidence in doing homework, confidence in sports, confidence in everything. That's the point of it.
That's good.
You go into it and you're kind of charged up. It's one dot connects to another. But in the beginning and the end of the day, it's you do at that age, everything's about girls.
Okay.
It's just the way it
just is.
Yeah. Whether or not you just, it doesn't matter if you just write notes or playing or walking or talking. It's just, it's how it is.
Okay.
I think. I remember. It's a long time ago for me, but it still is, as a matter of fact. I can't go anywhere funky.
It's not like it changes.
Oh, I take six showers a day.
It keeps going.
But it's not so much for the girls. It's probably for me. But yeah, you can't be funky. You can't be going places funky, people.
No.
Nope.
True.
I carry a bar of soap around with me. A bar. You know those big, thick bars? Those old school soap on a rope. I don't have the soap on a rope, but I got a bar. I can pull it out and show you in my bag.
I believe you.
In a Ziploc. Double sealed in the box, because you leave it in the box for too long.
It gets all like slimy.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Boxes are stupid.
Liquid soap and all that stuff sounds good, but nothing beats a good bar.
Well, girls wear, I use liquid, you know, too.
You guys like the scents.
Well, it depends what you use also to wash yourself, you know?
Mm.
So there's all kinds
of stuff. Nothing like a good bar of soap, people.
I like it to be moisturizing more than anything.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, you gotta clean it.
And smell good for sure, but yeah.
Gotta do it.
Well, yeah, but.
I'm telling you. I was in the gym, speaking of soap. I was in the gym. I was in the gym working out today, and actually I've been working out a pretty good pace. I think I'm almost just about at week three. Not for any reason, just kind of, I've got a little bit more time on my hands. And so it allows me, Miriam thinks that's funny, people. I'm like struggling for money over here, and she's laughing at me.
What's the way you say it? You're like, well.
If you're hiring, give me a call.
Oh.
The gym has, it's kind of a place for me to blow off steam, but it also, I've been doing it for so long. Like after you've worked out for like 20 years, you know, it comes second nature to you. So when I get back into it, I'm not as sore, but I'm doing different things. And, you know, I've started trying to incorporate running back, get more cardio into the program. So it's good, you know, just doing a little bit here and there. Got to work it out. Got to stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been watching the women. Back to the women. Back to the women. The women do all sorts of stretching and yoga and these strange things with cables and stuff and hanging upside down. They're like bats, you know.
Okay.
And they do this one, which is everyone's heard of the Stairmaster.
Yeah.
I've seen this for years. I see women on that thing for 20 minutes at a time, 30
for
minutes.
Their butts.
Holy mackerel. So I've incorporated that. So the other day I only did 16 flights, and I thought I was going to die. I was sweating bullets. I'm not kidding.
It's tough.
I was on fire.
Your knees and stuff.
Well, I'm trying to, yeah, well, that's really why I'm doing it, is to get those little muscles and tendons and stuff back to where they used to be. Because after a while, you know, you go, if you go a year or so, or a couple years, it's easy to get out of sync with your body if you just get caught up in just everyday stuff. You do.
Yeah.
You know, people go through life, and some people don't even have time. They don't make time to work out or whatever. It's just like, you know, you get home, you're beat.
Yep.
You got to deal with your, you know.
Or people don't want to wake up early to go work out and stuff like that.
It takes commitment.
Yeah, it is. It's a lifestyle.
You just got to get up and, as they say, do it. You got to get up and do it and commit yourself to it. Kind of like this podcast. You got to get your mind made up and set a goal and just go out there and do it. And so I've committed back to the gym, and each week I'm getting better and better, back to where I used to be. You know what I mean? I'll have to show you some pictures. My youth. You know? Jesus. Damn. It ain't easy, though. The Stairmaster whooped my ass.
If you're not used to it, for
whooped
sure.
It. But today I did 20
See,
flights.
Already?
Yeah, so I pushed myself a little hard. It only did like, on average, I'll warm up really quick and maybe do like five miles on the bike. And then I'll either run for a mile. But I didn't run today because I wanted to see if I could do the 20 flights.
And you did.
But there was this grandmother next to me.
Did she make you feel kind of...
She was doing some sort of dance.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what, but she was on it for at least, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes.
But
40
maybe
minutes.
What she does, like, mainly. I did
the 5 miles on the bike, and she was on there. I made a mental note because she was on the one that I wanted.
Oh.
And then I was like, well, there's another one that's all right. So, and when I got up on there, she was still going. And then I did my 20, and she was still on there.
Wow.
And then I went on weights, and she was still on there. Old bird, kicking it.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyone listening right now that does a Stairmaster, they're probably laughing at me. Yeah. Yeah.
I have enough stairs
but
to place.
But the beauty of it is, you go in there one day, you do 16. You go in there another day, you do 20. Yeah. Before you know it, you'll be up to 40. You'll be up to 100.
Exactly. You just started.
Yeah. And the same thing, like the podcast. you start evolving into mm-hmm. it. But the key is to just do it, to get out there and and put your neck on the line. Right? Is that the right saying? Put your neck on the line and just commit to it. Because if you don't ever commit to anything, you're not going to get any results. And then you're just going to complain about it. And you're going to, or you may not even complain about it. You may just wonder and wish. And at some point in your life, you may regret not ever trying or not even making that commitment.
It's true.
So you hear that, people? You got to commit. You're learning Wisdom. Something here today.
Wisdom.
You're learning. That's how it's done. I'm telling you. So... But what's up with you, Miriam? What's going on in your world? Anything? I gotta turn the floor over to you sometimes. Maybe the people want to hear from you.
I don't complain as much. I don't have so much to complain about.
You're not a complainer.
Sometimes I am.
Yeah,
but I don't like to complain on the air.
Really? Yeah, I don't want to put your stuff out there. She's a Tazi, people. It's hard enough to get a Tazi on the MIC.
Really? I've been on this one pretty much. But
it's
no.
good. I got a lot of feedback on you, too. A lot of feedback. I think
I'm surprised to hear that.
I
don't know how to take that.
40%+ of the feedback I got in the past 2 weeks has been about Miriam Tazi on the mic.
And?
Yeah. No, they're just happy that that you're a quote-unquote, they call you the co-host. That's what they call you.
Well, do you call me the co-host?
I call you Taz.
Yeah, well. Yeah. I'm here to help. I'm here to, you know.
Miriam, you've been doing an outstanding job. Too bad I can't pay you.
That's fine. I don't need money.
But you'll live.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know.
Before I get sidetracked, though.
What?
On all your accolades and praises. Let me just backpedal because I had something on my mind. I always get sidetracked. It's part of podcast-itis. You know? It's part of just... rambling on,
yeah,
unscripted.
Exactly.
When I was in the gym, so after I finished my gym, I just do this routine. Strange dynamic in the gym, and you and I talked about this offline. It's a strange dynamic. So I have a routine that I do when I'm in the gym. Miriam's already cracking up.
I've been waiting for the story. He's like, yeah. I'll tell you on the podcast.
Yeah. it's a strange thing, people, because it's not really strange. Some of you listening may be used to it, but you go into a men's gym locker and there's a lot of nudity, like tons.
But is it all about like, I'm the big man in the room. Is there a lot of that, like, displaying themselves?
No.
Or is it just
These are 50-something-year-old. A lot of them...
Are they saggy?
Yeah, a lot of them are built like, what's his name? Edward Cobblepot. Do you know him? Is that his name? He played, I think that's the real name of the Penguin on Batman Returns, played by Danny DeVito. Ugh. Yeah, a lot of them are built like that. A lot of flesh...
Flubber.
A lot of flesh and hair. A lot of hair.
Oof.
So, I have a root, like...
Do you walk around nude?
I do and I don't. I have a routine. Okay, my routine is... It's very to the point, and it's planned out to the T.
Why am I not surprised?
It's planned out to the T. All right.
Okay.
This is like the Great Escape. All right? So, it's planned out. Like, you're like... You know what I mean? Getting ready to jump the wall. So I get done with my workout or whatever, and you know, I go to my locker.
Okay.
I always have two towels.
Okay.
I always have two towels.
That's good.
You know, I'm buff. I'm a big guy. But no, I just have two towels, and I have like a hand towel also.
Nice.
So what I do is I do the move where open my locker up. All right. When I open the locker up,
yeah,
I casually just, you know, I start undressing. No big deal. But as I undress, instead of me just, you know, doing the freedom stance, you know, I don't stand.
Display. That's what I meant. Like dudes on display.
No.
Like that's
no.
What you call that? The freedom stance.
Yeah, they're free. They're in their birthday outfit. They're like this. They're like legs open,
hanging.
I see a lot of this. So. Instead of me doing that, I just get my stuff out, start taking my shirt off, take my shorts off, underwear comes off, grab the towel, wrap the towel around me. So
okay.
If you're really looking,
yeah,
like you might, you know, I don't care. I just kind of, I still turn.
I don't,
it's not that I'm ashamed of. I have walked, you know, if I have to get, but I don't, there's no need for me like to walk from, you know, 5 feet to the, to brush my teeth or to shave nude. You see a lot of that. A lot of that. Maybe they shouldn't be doing that. You know? Some of these guys, man.
Well, I was traumatized
and sometimes,
as a kid growing up at the YMCA with the women and stuff. I was just like, I don't want to become that. I was so...
Hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to public gyms.
Hasn't changed.
Just traumatizes
There's conversations
me.
Going on and just...
Oh.
I'm like, really, man? Jimmy, can't you put your drawers on?
I remember you paranoid just walking around in there. I feel like you need those. We've talked about this too. Like the
I don't wear
flip
flops.
Yeah.
I do not like flip flops.
I know you don't like flip flops.
I don't like
but
things
like
in between
shoes.
My toes. I've thought about it, and I've never
That'd
had
be
an
weird.
Incident. I just kind of walk. I'm in and I'm out. I'm not
fungus.
I'm not stepping on anything. It's just if
the
is
tile
this,
the floor.
You have to understand my technique. My technique is like walking on hot coals. So I'm like, you know. It's almost like I'm light on my feet.
You're not.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I'm not. But yeah.
But it's just...
dainty, nice little steps.
With a towel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my
towel.
God.
And the same thing in the shower, though. The showers are large showers. You could, if you wanted to, you could fit four people in the showers.
Okay.
Some of them. Shower, I take the shower. When I'm done with in the shower, the door's closed. You
yeah.
can't get in it. They're separate showers. So
yeah.
The door is closed. I have one towel hanging and one on the door so someone knows that it's someone's in there. I don't want somebody just popping up. Surprise, motherfucker.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know, I don't want any of that. So I put leave a towel there. It's a whole routine. Doesn't ever change. I never deviate. When I finish with the shower, I take one towel and I wipe my body down. And I use the other towel for my face. I never, you know.
Yeah.
So I wrap the wet one around me because it stretches after that, and I can just wrap it, and I put the other one over my shoulder, walk out.
Yeah.
A lot of fools just walk out, and they just air dry like they're Cuba Gooding Jr. and Jerry Maguire. You know what I mean? You know the scene? He's just like talking to Tom Cruise.
That's weird.
And he's just sitting there, and Tom Cruise is trying to have a serious conversation. He's like, You know, everything. You see that. You see it so much.
That's so weird to me.
And, you know, I walk and I'm just trying to look straight ahead, just like, and it's always like something swinging or somebody
itching.
A lot of talc and Q-tips and just old school stuff. And you'll see the guys, you know, they're up there shaving or brushing their teeth, pure nude. So you see a lot of flat asses.
Ugh.
Might see a whole wall. And then you get the guys. I noticed like a lot of Indian guys, they like to do this where they're doing a lunge.
No!
And
God!
And everything's swinging. And they take the blow dryer and then they'll blow under. It's not.
I just think these are things that maybe we, you know.
That's what goes on in the men's.
I don't know if I wanted to know that much.
Yeah, that's what goes on in the men's gym.
That's.
Yeah.
Well.
A little bizarre.
Yeah. Lunging and blow drying.
A lot of lunging.
A lot of
stretching. A lot of conversing.
Freedom stance.
You know. A lot of circular movements. You know, like me,
a lot of flapping. That's a manly thing, though. It's like, look at my junk. It's kind of like I am man, hear me roar. It totally has that vibe.
You know, some of the time, there's more hair than junk.
Yeah, that also makes them more caveman.
Not that I'm looking, but God damn.
It's hard to miss sometimes, I understand.
Yeah, I'm just like, what the fuck
is
this,
beach.
Man?
Oof, huh? Man with the hairy backs. Oh.
I don't know, but it's a room of freedom.
Yeah, I
guess. It is a room of freedom, people. And, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm in there, you know, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, you have an okay method. I'm okay with
my method. My method is to the point. It's no different at home, though.
That's kind
when
of
I'm
how
at home,
I did it, too,
my
when
method
I was a
is
kid.
No different. It's
yeah.
I'm in and out. I don't waste a lot of water. I don't, I'm just kind of, you know, do what I got to do. It's not like, you know, I'm hiding anything, you know, but it's just like, what's the point? What the fuck am I going to say to somebody butt stark naked nude that, you know, can't be like gentlemen and you know, put on a pair of trousers. Come on, people. Let's take it back to the 50s where we wore hats and trousers. You know what I mean? Simpler time. Jackets. Handkerchief. Yeah. Lay your coat down for the women if there's a mud puddle.
Oh, wow.
It's back in the day.
Wow. Or walking on the, you know.
That didn't exist.
No.
I held the door for a couple women today where I had to, you know, probably one thousand to five, whatever. I saw them on the corner of my eye and held it, and they were just like so stunned. They're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, people, I'm still surprised sometimes too.
But to lay your coat down?
I've never seen that. I only see that in the movies
puddle?
Back in the day and like.
No, I've never
the
seen
rain,
that one
know?
In real life.
No.
Nah.
Some dude would never be like, fuck that. I'm not ruining my jacket for this bitch.
Your coat. That's a serious commitment.
That's like ruining your coat. My coat's done here. It's all about you, baby.
Yeah, but that was the commitment.
I understand.
That was the commitment.
Some guys give their coats to the, you know, give it their hoodie. Here, you want my hoodie?
Yeah, I've done that.
It's kind of, that's the romance of nowadays.
Chivalry of today. I offered a young lady my coat this weekend at the film festival. She was freezing.
I figured you would do that.
And she was like, I was like, it might be really, really, really big, so it might look like a quilt on you. But you're more than happy to have it. I was like,
that's nice.
Well, you know, it's
that's
there
chivalrous.
If you need
it. That's not every day. It's
they don't
really
do it, huh? Really?
Not,
people, if you're listening, you got to give up your coat sometime. So do it or else. You know what I mean? And no more of this freedom stance. I don't want to see any more of these freedom walkers and these freedom lungers.
The lunging.
No
is
lunging in the gym
it's
in the nude, okay? I don't like that, all right? I'd take a picture of it, but I might
be
arrested.
No, yeah, that's not right. I don't think so. What happens in the gym locker room
stays. I don't want to. I don't
even
like it in my mind.
I'm disturbed that I know that too now.
Yeah, now you know. I even gave you a demo of it.
I did get the live.
Yeah, mine is mine is as simple as can be. The only time I think that I am fully nude for more than, I guess, maybe 20 or 30 seconds... where I do some sort of stance is when I lotion up. Gotta have my lotion. Gots to have my lotion from head to toe.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going. Every time I do it, especially now, I think of the Bill Burr bit where he talks about lotion, how white people don't know anything about. I sat next to someone recently, young lady of Caucasian descent, mm-hmm. and had no lotion on whatsoever. It was just as scaly, and I started itching
for
her. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if she knows. And I kept thinking of Bill Burr the whole time. And it was someplace where it was a meeting type setting, should mm-hmm. I say. And fully leg, just dry as can be.
Of course, with
us, you know, I have, you know, somewhat complexion, and black people, you can see if you're ashy. I mean, it's just something that we're just brought up, put some lotion on. Can't be going out with ashy elbows. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Can't have ashy knees going out, talking to people. Ashy knuckles.
Yeah.
You know? Do you get ashy?
Yeah, of course.
Do you use lotion?
Yeah, of course.
Gotta have lotion.
I do. I actually need some now. I wash my hands a lot today.
But yeah. Bill Burr does a good, take on it. Let's listen to it real quick. Here, watch it with me real quick.
You know why so many Caucasians need facelifts? Because we don't know about lotion. See that? Only half of you laughed. That should have been everybody. Yeah, but a lot of you were sitting there like, well, what about lotion? What is this lotion you speak of, and what is the magic therein? Just to put it out there, you can use lotion on other parts of your body besides your dick. Yeah. If you ever wondered why your dick still looks brand new, but the rest of you is starting to look like an aging pirate, it's because you need to increase the circumference of the lotion distribution.
Bill Burr.
I love that.
Killing it. Love Bill Burr.
He's a funny guy.
He goes into it deeper.
Yeah, I know. This is just a little snippet.
That's
of
just
the
a little
thing.
Clip. You gotta check out Bill Burr. All right, moving right along. Let's talk about. Let's talk about my film festival recap. I saw a movie and I actually got to do the interview with the director. I was pressed because I saw this really good, very good film called Setup Punch, and that's starring Elijah Wood. And Elijah Wood stars as a stand-up comic that's performing at night, and it's game on, as you know. So it's kind of a look. It's a short film, about 20 minutes long. It's a short film that pretty much goes into the pressure of being a stand-up comic.
Oh.
Period.
It's really...
And the setup of the movie, the beginning of the movie, it says I'm just going off memory, but it basically says before the movie starts that the comic's job, the biggest thing about being a comic is to start strong and close strong. Period. That's the comic's job. All right? So if you think of that, anything short of that is a bad night for a comic. And you've watched comedians. I've studied and watched comedy for so many years. And sometimes, you know, if you've been out in the comic circle, just running around and looking at different shows, sometimes you'll see guys who crash and burn.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned about that is that comedians will go out and test their material before they go on tour or they do big shows.
Yep.
So sometimes when you think someone's crashing and burning, they're actually trying new material to see if it works.
That's true.
So it's not always the case. Even if you see someone reading notes on stage or using cards or something like that, it's because...
It's a test.
Yeah, they're testing, and you probably don't know it because you just happen to wander in and seeing who's up there, and you're like, oh, this guy sucks. But it's got to be a...
It's part of the job. It's part of the work, I think.
It's got to be a nerve-wracking job.
Yeah. It's hard work.
To stand up there and put it on the line and just to go out there and do it night after night for basically nothing. Sometimes, you know, a couple bucks, you know, $100 or $50 or something like that. But it's the build up. It's that level of commitment that you have decided to set your course and your direction on, and that's your life, that's your lifestyle. And I take that back when I said it's a job, because it's more than that. That is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
That is who you are. And so when you see these comics out there like Bill Burr, and Bill Burr, he now does big halls now.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does some smaller clubs and stuff, but he's doing some pretty big. He does a lot of large rooms, as we like to say.
Large rooms.
Yeah, he does large rooms. Theaters.
Theaters.
I couldn't ever. I don't even know if I could ever stand up in front of. I'll hide behind this podcast, and could not imagine that pressure. But in this film, Setup Punch, Elijah Wood, he does a, I'd say a grade A job in transcending that pressure and that anxiety, that rush that comes with being a stand-up comic and everything prior to. I can't really get into everything about it because, again, it's a short film.
Yeah.
But everything, you know, about a stand-up comic's routine and his life and his lifestyle and his existence is right there on that stage, right there within that leading up to that moment and that moment and right after. And they capture that. They're able to pull that story off in like 20 minutes. And that's one of the brilliant things I like about short films.
Yeah.
The film directed by
David Schlussel.
Yeah. I have a hard time pronouncing David's last name. Schlussel.
There you go. Good job.
So David, I met David at the Washington West Film Festival, and I did not see the film. It was not one of the ones that I saw prior to.
Okay.
So I ran into David in the lobby. We were going to see a different film, and just so happened I ran into him, and I said, "Oh, you're one of the filmmakers, right?" And he said, "Yeah, I got the movie Setup Punch." And I was like, "Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it." And I told him, I was like, "I'm going to give you my my review after I see it."
Okay.
You know, good, bad, or whatever.
Yep.
You know, I think I said that too. And and he was like, "Oh yeah, great, great, nice, very, very nice, very nice about it and everything." I went to see the film and I was blown away by it. After the film, I mean, I loved it. It was one of my favorite films from the festival. I immediately contacted David to do an interview. Now I have no idea if anyone would agree to do American Riddle podcast. I mean, I was like, what? You want to do what? For what? How many people listen? You don't know. But again, I always tell them we're small, but we're loyal. You know what I mean? It's a small,
a
yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 of the right listeners than 500 of the wrong ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To quote KRS-One, you want the right people in your corner. So when I say, see this movie or listen to this podcast or check this out, you know what I mean? I'm not feeding you any bullshit. You're getting the straight and narrow. You're getting the real nitty gritty. And this is what this film did. When I approached David, you know, I tell these guys, I'm constantly trying to evolve this podcast to get interesting people. It doesn't matter whom it is or what walk of life they're from. But when it's a director from LA, from Hollywood, that worked with Elijah Wood, who was in, you know, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's legit.
Yeah, it's a real deal. So you don't know if they're going to say yay or nay. And I was like, yeah, gave my card or whatever. And I didn't think I'd hear from him. But the next morning, I still didn't hear from him. And I was like, God, I don't know if he's going to call. Don't know if he call. I think I even sent you a message. I was like, oh, I think I got stood up. Mm. But then like within that half hour or so, he sent me a message saying, you know, I'm running late. I got to fly back out to LA, but I got some time to share. So what I will do now is let you guys listen to that interview. Now, keep in mind, in this interview, a couple things were going on. Okay. We just kind of wrapped the film festival. I went into the Hyatt where he was staying, the lobby, and it was silent. I was like, oh, we could do it there. It's nice, nice couches and chairs. No big deal. Well, there was some sort of teen, I don't know what it was, some sort of teen fashion event or teen talent event. I think it was a talent event going on. So it pretty much sounds like I'm at the Rose Bowl. And I swear we just sat down. I got the mics all checked. I had everything, the headphones, you know. David was cool with it, everything. I was like, you don't mind headphones listening to your voice? And he was like, we'll find out. But he was cool with it.
Yeah.
And Within seconds, the place erupted into a loud, thunderous cheers and applause and screams of little girls. It was so loud.
Sounds like I could you have see fans.
In his, I could see in his face. I could see in his face he was disturbed by it. Like, it's too loud. And I didn't want to say, let's go outside, because it was a little chill. It was in the morning. But I just wanted the interview. This is the time. I'm thinking in my mind, if I say we have to move, then you lose the interview. You got to strike while the iron's hot. So I was like, look, don't worry about David. I was like, these are directional mics. These are directional mics. I do it. Airplanes, you know what I mean? There's helicopters. There's, you know, I've done them outside. I was like, it's not a big deal. So you guys listening,
keep that in mind.
Yeah, you will. You know, you're going to hear a crowd in the back, but it's not that bad. And I, it's a testament to these Shure microphones.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you have to get a microphone, buy Shure. Another plug that isn't even a sponsor. We're trying here, people. But you're going to hear a little bit of noise. That's what I'm trying to say. So we're going to listen to that right now. Here's my interview. David, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. You have no idea, because as my listeners know, we did a... it is a little loud, huh? It's all right. We'll keep going with it. What you guys are hearing is there's some sort of... What type of convention did you say it was?
All these kids walk around the halls. There's like a theater troupe they're doing. It's a theater competition where kids are trying to get into colleges through theater. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, we're in the hotel lobby of the Hyatt, and it's been going on all weekend along with our film festival. So listeners, please pardon the back noise, but we're going to go on with the interview regardless, because it looks like the kids are breaking up, but they're running this place like the inmates have gone wild. It's insane here.
Wildly singing. Everything, yeah. They walk around the halls. I'm going to breakfast.
Yeah, they're doing it big here. The kids, they have the shiny dresses I see coming down like it's prom back in 1989 or something. But yeah, David here is in town in Washington, D.C., and you're coming from where?
L.A., live in L.A.
So you came all the way out to L.A. to join the Washington West Film Festival this year.
Yeah.
And I am part of the programming team. And we had the pleasure of viewing your film Setup Punch, starring Elijah Wood. And I was excited about this because this is one, being part of the program team, this is a film that I didn't get a chance to see. I didn't get a chance to see all of the films. We kind of divided up. And some of them, just with our day-to-day lives, I didn't get a chance to view this one. But I was very excited to see it. And... on watching it, I mean, it blew me away.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, it blew me away on many levels. Cinematography, camera work, the acting. Do you have and just a brief setup, I can't let the audience know too much about the film because it is a 19-minute short, but it's about a stand-up comic, and he's prepping to go on stage, and everything that's involved with being a stand-up comic. And it pretty much says the setup of the film, it says exactly what a stand-up has to do. He has to open hard, and he has to close hard. And that's the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any rougher than that. Do you have a background in stand-up?
I do. I do. I came out to L.A. to write and direct, and I saw this stand-up comedy class in Los Angeles at UCLA Extension. I thought, I'll be a writer. It'll help my writing. Hopefully, I'll find someone really funny, and I'll be their Larry David to their Seinfeld. And I'd find someone who's, you know, really great, and I would just, you know, write jokes for them. I'd love to do that. I had no desire to get up on stage. And my teacher, the first week, said, "All right, everybody, you're going to come back with 5 minutes of material." And I walked up after, and I was like, "No. I'm just here to find someone that I can write for." And he said, "If you're here next week, you're getting up on stage." So I came back. I wrote two jokes. First joke bombed. Crickets. Nothing.
There's nothing worse than that.
Terrible. I was like, oh, great. Now I'm just going to tell this last joke, and get the hell off stage, and never do this again. And then I told the second joke, and people laughed. And I was like, oh, I've never smoked crack, but I imagine this is what it feels like. Like, I just was like...
the rush.
And I was like, I need it. I need more. So I started doing stand-up. I never really found my voice as a comic. But I always love stand-up. I've always loved stand-up comedy, so, but it's the best.
Well, watching the film, and I can't say I'm a student of stand-up, but I'm a fan. Like, I've seen a lot of artists. I've seen Bernie Mac, Chris Rock. I've seen Jerry Seinfeld more than three or four times.
Awesome.
You know, I've seen a lot of acts. Eddie Griffin. I'm a fan of Joe Rogan, Joey Diaz, Bert Kreischer.
Nice.
I mean, I can go on. Big fan of Bill Burr. He's one of my favorites.
I used to perform with Bill.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
I listen to his podcast every Monday. And I'm not a big sports fan. He does a lot on sports.
Right.
But his style, his delivery, and just with the podcast scene, it's as if the comedians are out there and they're rehearsing their material. And it's kind of like exercise for them. And I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla. I actually hung out with Adam back in July in Hollywood at his studio and did a wine event for him and his signature wine. But watching the film, I could tell that you weren't new to the stage. Just the direction and overall the emotion that went into it, just watching Elijah Wood, as we know from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So I could see that, and you could see it, your camera work. Do you do the camera work yourself? Do you work with a tight crew? How does that?
Well, I had a cinematographer I've used a bunch of times. His name's Bruce Dixon. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And as far as the beats on stage and stuff, what happens in the film, and I can just say that you know, this guy gets him on stage and does the most daring set of his life, actually happened to me. And so I knew those moments. And, you know, they say write what you know. Like, I knew those moments. I felt those moments. I experienced those moments.
Yeah.
So I was able to really hopefully capture them and give them to an audience to experience those moments as well.
Yeah, because, again, not giving up too much of the plot of the film, it goes through an emotional breakdown of this comic's life on stage. I mean, the sweating, the pacing, the nervousness, just everything that's involved that he's thinking of. And what I thought was amazing about the film was the twist. You know, most directors and writers, they will lay it all out there. Not most, but some. And you think you're going one direction, but yet you decided to take it a completely different direction. And the twist is amazing.
Wow, thanks.
I mean, almost.
Thanks so much.
You know, it's comedy, but, you know, it's right up there with any Hitchcock or M. Night Shyamalan, or the twist just really nails it.
Wow.
And you set it up. You set it up in the beginning. The foreshadowing of you got to open heart and close heart. And you were speaking. It was as if you were speaking to me, you know, and I am an amateur filmmaker and aspire to be where you're at some point in time. But just watching it, it blew me away, because you just delivered not only in a comedian's world, but as a filmmaker and a writer.
Malcolm, what are you doing to me here?
I know, right? I'm just telling you.
I don't know what to do with all that. It's amazing. Thank you so much.
When I saw you at the film festival, of course, you and I were sporting the same brown corduroy jacket.
Yes.
And I noticed when you said, "Have you seen my film, Setup Punch?" And I can't be I have to be honest whenever I meet someone, you know, whatever comes out. Sometimes that gets me into trouble, but I always tell it like it is. And I told you, I'm excited to see your film, and I'm going to tell you about it, you know, good or bad, I'll tell you about
right.
it. You know, I think feedback is important.
Yes.
I get a lot of feedback from my podcast, good, bad, whatever. I get suggestions, so I just take it all in. So as soon as I saw it, you know, I Googled you. I found you on Twitter. And I was like, I gotta, you know, see if I can get a few minutes just to talk and praise you. I think it's deserved.
That's very kind of you.
What's your background in film?
So I always, you know, I moved out to LA. I guess, well, prior to that, when I decided I wanted to be a filmmaker, I was living in college with these guys who were older than me, and I didn't really like them particularly, and I had time to watch a lot of movies, and I watched Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. And
I watched that the other day.
I had that like an epiphany moment. I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah,
I could do that.
Yeah,
I could do that. And so that sparked me, you know. And I was a double major, philosophy and film, and moved out to LA, and it was tough. I had to start to find my way. Luckily I fell into music videos and did a bunch of music videos. And then now this is my first narrative feature. I mean, short film, you know, and hopefully get into features.
Yeah, it's amazing because one of the things that I've produced three or four short films that are just online. I'll produce them for my Facebook social media audience just to kind of look at and just to gauge the audience, my audience. And one of the things I find appealing about a short film, you have to tell a story in a small amount of time through storytelling, the writing, editing comes. I mean, you don't have a lot of time to play with. You don't have an hour and a half, 2 hours. So if you can pull that off, in my mind, I think I could pull off a feature at some point.
Right.
And
for sure.
When I watched yours, I wanted more. I just wanted more of that character. Elijah Wood, does he have any experience in stand-up?
That's a good question. He's a fan of stand-up, a huge fan, and we had talked and he's like, "You're gonna want me to do stand-up, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And I kept trying to get him on the phone and talk to him about, you know, going and doing stand-up. And I was like, "Elijah, you know, we got to do stand-up." He'd be like, "Oh, yeah, I got to go. Click. Yeah. Goodbye." Like, he'd always get off me. And then I knew we were shooting on a Wednesday. And this is, like, prior to, like, the week before. And I called my producer called the Improv in L.A. And I got him a set at the Improv on a Sunday night. And I just called him. I was like, "Hey, Elijah, you got a set Sunday night, the Improv." He said, "Okay, we got to do this." So he came to my house that Sunday morning, and I just assumed, I had done stand-up, and I just assumed he was going to do the jokes from the film.
Yeah.
And he walked into my house, and the first thing he said to me was, "So I don't think I'm going to do any of the jokes from the film." And I was like, "Oh, great." My voice got very high, and I was like, "Great, yeah, sure. Just so you're comfortable, whatever. You know, what do you think about doing?" And he said, "I think I'm going to get up there and say, 'I've never done this before.'" And I was like, "I don't think you should do that. That's death for a comic." So we sat and for 9 hours wrote jokes all day about his life, about my life, about, like, just to get stuff going. And we wrote a set, and it was about a 4-minute set in like 7 hours, and then rehearsed it for two. And he's such a professional actor. He's so unbelievable that, like, as he's rehearsing it, I would say, "Oh, use this word instead of that word, or this word instead of that word." And then every time thereafter, had that word down. And he got up, and I've never been that nervous in my life. I thought I was going to vomit. I've never vomited from nervousness. But watching him, I knew the film rested in this moment. He was either going to think I was a good writer, director, funny, or not. And he killed. He killed.
I mean, again, just with my history on stand-up comedians and watching them over the years, I noticed right off the bat that this guy, all I could think was, had he had training, had he spent time during stand-up. I'm curious to see what other stand-up comedians think about this film, just because, you know, it's almost like it's a blueprint of what someone goes through. Wow. I listen to podcasters like Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz, and they always talk about those same moments that they go through. Everything that was on that film is what I've heard from those guys, Rogan and Burr and everyone that I've grown up with. And it was amazing just to see it. And I had no idea that this film was going to impact me the way it did.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So have you had it on in other festivals outside of Washington West?
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to be on the kind of festival circuit. We got into Tribeca, and that kind of got the ball rolling with everything. And then we won another festival, and so it's been blessed. It's been very blessed.
It's been great. I believe that great things lie ahead. I mean, to see, don't look shocked, because it's there. You had to have felt it, like, in the editing room. Well, you know, when you know you have something special, it's something that just works. What moment was that when you were making this film?
Wow. What moment made it work?
Like, did you feel like, all right, I got something here, you know?
Well, the first shot when we were shooting in this bathroom, that was the first, it's the first shot of the film, and as well, it was the first thing we shot. For a while, I was having this very out-of-body experience seeing Elijah Wood on this monitor that I'm watching, and it's my movie, and he's saying the words, I lost my mind. And I was kind of out of it. My cinematographer was like, you going to cut? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, cut. Let's do it again. I was so freaked out. As far as, like, the aha moment, I'm a huge comedy fan, and we were shooting at the Improv. We had a day and a half in this one club, and then a half day at the Improv. And we're at the Improv, and my producer said, oh, we're going to have to wrap a little early.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know why, right? And I go, no. He's like, Louis C.K. has an unannounced show here tonight. And me and Elijah were freaking out. And we were like, can we be here? Can we get tickets? Can we sit in there? Like, no, it's totally sold out. So Elijah and I went and begged, the house manager, and we were like, please, is there anything we could do? And they got us a table. So 15 minutes after I wrapped my short film, I was sitting watching Louis C.K. do stand-up, and it was like, at that moment, I was like, wow, this was a blessed day. This is, I'm so grateful. Like, something worked here,
because
things have gone right, that at 15 minutes after wrapping my short film about stand-up comedy, I'm watching Louis C.K. do an unannounced show. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, That's when you know things are coming together. So as if the planets and the stars line up.
Yes.
And also to be so well received throughout the festival circuit. I mean, it's like I said, it's going to be a continuous success for you. Matter of fact, I know it's going to go in the right direction from this project and beyond. I mean, it's there.
Are you going to be my agent now? Is that what's going to happen?
I could be, you know?
Because you are so nice, man.
Now, well, it's the work. The work speaks for itself. And any listeners that are tuning in today, definitely seek out Setup Punch. And how can people see this film? Where can they find it?
Well, you kind of have to keep it private until the festival circuit's over, because each festival wants to have, you know, domain over it for a while.
Yep.
And then I think eventually, I don't know what we're going to do. We're talking to iTunes, and we're trying to figure out a way to release it so that more people can see it. Because that's, as an artist, I just want people to see the work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's important to get it out there to the mainstream. And definitely keep me posted on, you know, when that becomes that. Because, I'm gonna buy my copy, and I'll get my family and friends to buy their copy.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a support system that I think works. And even with the audience that I have on American Riddle, I always tell people I'm a small, very, I have a very small audience, but very loyal. And we follow comedy, we follow filmmakers, writers, anyone in the arts, because it's a struggle, as you know. I mean, what were some of your struggles in getting this film finished?
Huh. Wow.
Started or finished, should I say?
Yeah. Well, starting was scheduling. Well, I wrote this as a feature film, and it wasn't working as a feature film.
Yeah.
And I was reading it, and I was like, you know, the first 20 pages are solid. Like, those are good. I can make that into a short film. So, first of all, was getting someone involved, and I was so lucky to have Elijah involved. Then scheduling him was tough because he's an amazing actor and busy and working all the time.
So how did you get him?
My wife is a makeup artist.
Gotcha.
And she's done him for many, many, many years. And we became friendly because he would come by the house. He loves my wife. And I told him the story of this film, you know, of what happens. And he just was like, that's the best story.
You took a chance.
And then I told him that story. He's like, you know, I'd love to read that story if you wrote it. And I wrote it. And I gave it to him. We had that very awkward conversation where I called and was like, would you maybe ever consider, you know? And he was like, I would love to. So that was the first major hurdle. Then was funding. And I had an amazing dear friend, Jeff Martin, who believed in the project enough to fund it. And I am forever, ever, ever grateful to this guy. And then crewing up. We had an actress in place for a while, and then she dropped out. So we kind of scrambled to find another actress. And then, you know, God works in perfect ways.
Because
Alia came on board, and she was the perfect person to play Dottie in the film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything worked. I mean, and I look at films. I break them down. Like, I look at the lighting. I look at the set. I mean, you're right there in Hollywood. Because I try to get out there as much as possible, but everything just meshed together. So nothing looked staged. Everything just looked as if, you know, you guys, like I said before, as if Elijah Wood was or is a stand-up comic. So it doesn't get any better than that.
He pulls it off well. I mean, I think he said, I take this as a source of pride, he said, I worked him harder than any director's ever worked him. And the reason being is because he was on stage alone for 12 hours telling these jokes, you know? Like, he didn't have an actor to work off of. Like, he was a comic. And so he found his groove as a comic. Like, you know, as the day went on, having had him do stand-up prior to us shooting, he just felt this, I saw this comfort level with him. And then he got really into it and really had fun with telling jokes, which is a beast unto itself.
Yeah, and my hat's off to him. Not only telling the jokes, but as I said before, being able to show the emotion behind it. I mean, him sweating, him, you know, his anxiety attacks, the everything leading up and on stage and overcoming his fear and delivery, closing hard. I mean, he did everything by the book, and he nailed it.
Awesome.
I mean, he hit a home run, so my hat's off to him. So as a filmmaker yourself, what would you say to, let's say, if there's a listener out there and they have a ambition or dream to make a short film, feature film, documentary, what words of encouragement would you have for other filmmaker or artists out there trying to get something done?
Just do. You know, we live in an amazing time right now where the cameras and cell phones and all that stuff, you can make a film on practically anything, and it's about doing it. And you know, we say what we need to hear. Like, I need to be doing more. Like, we all can be doing more to make this world a better place, doing better art and putting better stuff out into the world. So it's like, just my advice is just work hard and do. It feels daunting. It feels really daunting. And but I've been talking to my wife about that. You know, a lot of times our fears and apprehensions are always outside of the thing we're doing. When we're scared of something, it's because we're not doing the something, whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
So you don't have time for fear when you're directing. You know, you don't have time for fear when you're actually writing. You're just doing. It might not be great. It might be great. I don't know. But as long as you're doing, you're doing all right.
That's right. Invest in yourself. I've said it before on this podcast. You know, there's nothing more important than you, your dreams, your ideas, and as David just said, get out there and do it. Get it done. So on that note, David, I know you got a plane to catch. You got to get back to Hollywood. And
my kids.
Do what you do. Spend some time with your family. But we appreciate you sitting down with the American Riddle Podcast and showcasing your film at the Washington West Film Festival this weekend.
It's been such an honor to be here. It's been such a... And everyone, you should come check out this festival next year. It's one of the best I've been to. And I don't know if all your listeners know, but all the proceeds, all the profit from this festival, they donate to charity. And that's just... got to come support that.
Yeah, and I was telling the president, Brad Russell, earlier, you know, there's other festivals out there. They have the glitz and glam and stuff like that, but the story, the deep-rooted story that we have within the film festival, giving back to different communities, 100% of the profit, that's where it counts. And you get artists like yourself that are connected to other people and other places. It shows. It transcends on film, everything that you guys are doing, and to participate in this. Yeah, you could have the limousines and stuff like that, but you don't have, the roots is where it counts.
And what it's about are the films, and all the films here are great. All of them have a message, and you know, that's why you come to film festivals, to see the films. And, you know, Brad and yourself, you know, everyone programmed it. Did an incredible job getting everything together.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate you coming out from LA and spending some time with us. So, thanks again, David.
My
appreciate
pleasure,
it.
Man. Thank you.
Not bad.
That was good.
Huh?
That was good.
It wasn't as loud as I thought.
No, the voices still come through pretty well, so you're fine.
I think so.
There's some cheering in the back, but whatever. I mean, the content is there. So
nice guy. Really
very
nice.
Nice
guy, huh?
Really think appreciative. So? You were nice to him too. You gave him nice compliments. He was very appreciative.
Might have laid it on a little thick, but he deserves it. I mean,
it sounds like
you haven't
like
seen
it.
The film yet.
No,
you have not seen it, and the audience, you guys listening, probably won't get to see it anytime soon. But I will keep my finger on the pulse and a watchful eye on the film. And once released into the mainstream, I'll let you guys know.
Cool.
Because it's
curious now.
It's
obviously
a very emotional film for those 20 minutes, 19 minutes.
Hmm.
And it's cool. Like I said in the interview, it's it ends on a Hitchcockian twist. You know?
I want to know what that's about.
Yeah, I can't.
I know you can't tell
me. It would be like me giving up the end of, any film. What was it? The Sixth Sense or something like that. Like giving up the end. You know, you can't give it up.
All right, fine.
Because he opens hard and he closes hard. I like writers like that. That you're sure it's going in one direction, and you're like, oh, okay.
They flip it on you.
Turns completely in a completely different direction.
It's good. You don't want things to be too predictable nowadays. Because a lot's been done.
And to be able to do that, again, as I've said probably a half a dozen times during this podcast, he's able to have that, you're able to feel that emotion within the movie. And, I can't say enough. I can't say enough good things about him and other filmmakers that participated and submitted their films in the Washington West Film Festival.
That's
so,
cool.
My setup punch. And, we'll keep our eye open. Jesus. We'll keep our eye open on that film. Can't get my words together, people. Help me, Marion.
You're fine.
Tazi, help me out. Help a brother out. Help a brother out. Let me slow this thing down. Slow this train down. Wow. That's right, people. This is American Riddle.
it's time to close out, I think.
This ain't Oprah. It's not as organized as your favorite morning show. You know what I mean?
Some people might listen to this in the morning.
This ain't...
It may be their morning show.
No, I was saying it's not organized like a morning show.
Morning shows are not that organized.
Yeah, but they're pretty well-oiled machines. Not so much here, people. But I'm happy that Will Blagrove... I'm gonna mess up David's last name. Help me with it.
What is it again? I have to see it. Oh, Schlussel.
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 Yes. And we're very thankful for both of them participating and being on the show. Because it means a lot. It means a lot to me. And I'm sure you guys as a listener give you some interesting things to listen to and learn about. Besides, boner jokes and freedom stances and in the locker room and stuff like that. But the thing is, and the message, especially within this podcast, no matter if you're doing a freedom stance or you're going to the gym or you want to start a podcast or you just want to get through school, get through work, get through life, just get out there and do it. Just like David said, get out there and do, because, this is the only thing that's stopping you is you.
Yep.
And when you look back at the end of the day, you don't want to be filled with regrets or the what ifs or, why didn't I? Just get out there and do it. And everything else will fall into play. Just go with your gut. I've said it once. I'll say it again. And I'll say it twice and the third time on another podcast. So keep doing it. And Maryam Tazi.
Thank you.
Maryam Tazi.
And Malcolm Riddle.
Close us out.
All right, domino motherfucker.
Straight off the black plate, lifting my hand, trusting no man, got my black cat, running this thing, you understand? We steaming, blazing, mass pumping, cazing, alley grown stem from the hood where I was raising. Niggas busting heads and running, ducking, phasing, rocks under their tongues and keys under their beards and hood for the real niggas, 24/7 hunters, and chain and shovel, barrel down your pipes.
You better run from a nigga.
Are you playing with that?
stepping out of that door. Better stay in your car and make sure your door's locked. Cause this ain't not my fault. It's the black, it's the side.
Nigga, you got that yayo.
Well, cook something.
One move, blow his catch, it's resolved.